who knows where she's at, who she is, and what her purpose is, and what hour we're living in. He means more wonderful to us today than in all the ignorance and blindness and speculation that we've had in all of our past experience. Today, we have a revelation, and he's wonderful. We're looking forward to some tremendous visitation. I know that, it's always a calm before a storm. There are some tremendous things going on in the spiritual world, the religious world, among churches, and a lot of great move going on. It's not all good, it's not all bad, but at the same time, we know that the visible things that we see going among us is the move of God that's in the land. And surely, any real Christian who's got any spiritual discernment at all would know that God is not procrastinating, but just because he's not moving here in America doesn't mean he isn't moving on the scenes. And especially in Israel, and he's kind of lost favor in this nation except for the bride that's here, and of course she's already sealed away. Amen. And so he doesn't need to concern himself too much about us, outside of the fact that we have the word and we know what to do with it. And I'm sure that there's going to come a short demonstration before too long. The problems that we're seeing in the land, the earthly devastations of earthquakes and volcanoes that are boiling in California and Texas and different places, the rumblings, and it's strange, I'm 44 years old and never heard of such a thing as an earthquake in Ohio, but we had one right up here in Bowling Green not too long ago. And that's a real scary thing, and especially when you realize that if it ever shook Detroit City, that place is gone. For the entire city, for a mile deep, all around it is, has salt, and it's been taken out of there, and it's just a big empty pit underneath there. And one earthquake, all it take would be to annihilate 1.5 million people or more. So it's really terrifying, but at the same time, we're looking for the coming of the Lord, and with great expectancy. We also feel that there's going to begin some tremendous squeezes coming in the land. I don't know if you read it in the paper this morning, but it wasn't a very big thing, but it wasn't a very big editorial in the paper, but if you read the Sunday paper, there was a Baptist church took the pastor to court and sued him, and the judge fired him for standing in the pulpit and calling names and condemning some of his congregation. And, of course, there was a church in Canada not too long ago that went to court for the same thing, for calling the Catholic Church by name. But this preacher was calling his own congregation slurs and devils, and because they were driving Cadillacs and living in split-level homes and stuff like this. I think he's trying to get them saved. They run around in mini skirts and all this kind of stuff. And the pastor probably got a good preacher spirit on him one day and really thought he'd clean house. And it got him in trouble for telling the truth. And they took it to court and threw him out of church. So, the Bible said they want a teacher with itching ears today. And these folks don't want no preacher standing in the pulpit telling them what the Bible said. They just want you to tickle their ears a little bit with Santa Claus and Easter Bunny or something and stay away from too much doctrine. But they got the guy in trouble. So the thing is that we know there's a squeeze coming down. Brother Branham said churches like this can't stay open too much longer. There's going to come a boycott. And there's definitely got to come a squeeze among us. And so we're ready for it. I don't believe the church can get much ready. I know this little church. I can't speak for churches all around the world. But this little church has had 9 years, I believe, of establishment. And she's trained and ready. Now, the Bible says, we think you stand, watch, you're going to fall. We're not thinking that way. It's just we got confidence in what the message of Brother Branham brought us. And it has pointed the people back to the Word. And that's where the little churches ought to be standing now, is on the Word. She's not in dark no more. We're very happy this morning to have Brother Vail with us, and I always say to our congregation, I'm glad to be here. Brother, I tell you, there's attraction to the house of God that just takes away the burdens of the world, and this is a place of refuge for me, and I'm just always happy to be among the saints of God, to get a look of them, the distraction of the world, the nakedness and the lies and stuff that's out there. Just makes me feel good to come here to get among saints and see how they look, to see some kind of holiness and righteousness in the land. So I'm glad to be here this morning among the people of God. And it's a double privilege to have Brother Vail with us. And also he's got some guests here with him from, I believe it's Canada, isn't it? You will be introducing them from Toronto, Canada. And we want to extend our hospitality to you. I want you to just make yourself at home and feel just like one of the bunch, brother. If you're a Christian, you all live together on the other side. And you're nobody new to us. We have been family for eternity. And we want you to enjoy yourself here. Got dinner upstairs. I said, it'd be kind of funny if Toledo was to put on crackers and cheese and pickles for somebody. I was supposed to say, Toledo backslid. You know? Because we're famous for our hospitality here, and I wouldn't have it no other way. But our peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. We went to a couple fellowship meetings one time. It wasn't too hot. But I don't care, brother. Toledo is known for its fellowship, and we want you to just make yourself at home. And Brother Bell, God bless you. You can introduce him any way you like and bring your message today with you.
Brother Lou, it's always a privilege to be here. We now say the brother and sister Ratzkevi are from Toronto. They go to the Toronto church there, but their home is in St. Catharines. And Brother Ratzkevi had the privilege of meeting Brother Branham many years ago up around Dawson Creek in that area, and talking with him about a vision he had. And Brother Branham said, if you believe, it'll come to pass. Now, Joe had to flee Hungary as a freedom fighter, pretty well the leader in the second biggest city, and a man condemned to death. And when the man could have killed him, he lowered the gun and said, get out of here. Well, he got out of there and got into Canada, and the Lord let him know that's why he got to Canada, was in order to come across the message and be in the message. For some time, of course, I was always of the opinion that it'd be folly to go back to Hungary. It'd be kind of foolish to go back because he was a marked man. But the Lord let him go back, and even the mayor of Budapest was willing to honor him. And when he asked why that they were ready to be friends, he said, well, he said, if it weren't for men like you, Hungary would not be in the shape it's in, which Hungary is the showplace of the communist countries, because they have to put a lot of resources in there and make it look pretty good. So he's been back two or three times and been able to take some of the message back, and he wants to go again, hopefully. And this time really put effort in seeing what can be done. So I know if you have a moment to think about him sometime, his family, he'd always be happy to have you pray for him. That's the most important thing anyway, because he would finance himself and go as the Lord gave him the provision, which he's a hard-working truck driver. I guess you know a lot about that. That kind of work. So you can appreciate what he is doing and what he would have hoped to accomplish. So you just, they're very friendly folk and very down-to-earth folk. He'll be happy to be with you, and I know you'll be happy to share your hospitality with them. So appreciate being with you. And of course, I always like to come here. It's a good fellowship, and I just thinking that Brother Joe was in a certain church, and he liked the song service and didn't like the preaching. Well, of course, today I think he liked the song service, and I hope he liked the preaching. But he dealt with two different spirits. And here is a church, I don't believe you'll find two different spirits. I believe you'll find one spirit all the way through. And I must always have to admit that this church really has an exceptionally good spirit and a good song service, which we know we can thank Brother Luke for, really, because he's very good at doing that and loves to lead the folk in good worship. So many places have sort of got away from that. And I'm always happy to be in a place where the people are relaxed and can really sing and worship, because that's part of your service. The next part is where you have to start, you put your thinking cap on. Now, today I'm going to bring a message I thought I'd bring last time and didn't, because I forgot my notes. And you know I can't preach without notes. And if the rats ever ate my notes, the rats would eat my message, because I'd have to get a tape and go over what I had said, because I'm sorry, I just can't help myself. I just am not a smart fellow that can... well, I wish I was like Ned Iverson in that respect. He really can know. He really knows the Bible, and he really gets his sermon down pat, and he doesn't even have to look at notes. Well, I got to look at notes until I look too much, I guess. But the message is on the parousia, or the presence of the Lord, and it's really a mind-boggling sermon for this reason. That when you come to see what Brother Branham said, you next say, what do I do with it? What is it all about? And I'll try, hopefully, to maybe look at a few things that it might mean to us. That's about all I can say. But you will find that this message, based upon quotes in the Word, is 100% with the Word of Almighty God. And it'll give you something to think about and ask you to pray about, so that it might become tremendously real to you. And no doubt it'll help answer some questions as to why I take such a tremendously strong stand against leadership. It should help you to see that. because it'll answer the question better than I could from a personal viewpoint. So let's just say a word of prayer. Kind Heavenly Father, again we approach you at this time for the study of your word, and I pray, Lord, that it will come forth exactly as you would have it to come forth, but even beyond that, not just in the mechanics, which we know must be right, but may the dynamics, which have to follow the proper dynamics, also begin now to come upon what is said, Lord, because we want the former and the latter rain together, and we know that it'll merge in individuals. It's not going to be something which is simply poured forth, and here it's indiscriminate and willy-nilly. It's going to be in individuals, which in turn will bring forth a resurrection and bring about a rapture. So we're looking at that, Lord, this afternoon in the sense of reality, and I pray that people will not be disappointed or any of us shall fall short, but be absolutely part of your husbandry that's going to bring forth in this world according to your word. We ask these things, Lord, not to aggrandize ourselves or become popular or even to say aha to somebody, that anybody might think we're somebody, but Lord, we just that we would like to be identified with that word and in it, Lord God, to give you some honor and glory. So therefore we would humble ourselves under your hand at this hour, bring every thought into captivity. Let not our minds wander, Lord, and let nothing come in which is distracting. We ask these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to read in 1 Thessalonians, and I've got several pages of notes, but I'll try to keep my comments brief on it, so we just bring you the word as much as possible. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring forth with him. For this we send you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain, by the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them or go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That we which are alive and remain, under the coming of the Lord, shall be caught together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall it ever be. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, let's read verse 13 again. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those that have died, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Now, we can see immediately the following verse. The following verses after verse 13 will deal with the relationship of both the living and the dead Christians at the time of Christ's coming. Now, this is what he's talking about. The living and the dead Christians. This is going to deal with both of them at the very time of that coming, so you'll know what pertains to each group. Now, read verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now, according to this scripture, the death and resurrection of Jesus demands a return to this earth of the sleeping saints where they will mingle with the living. Now that demands it. That verse demands it. Because remember, the living are going to be standing here and the dead are going to come forth and be with them. Amen. So you see, it's dealing with the living and the dead. Now let's read 15 and 17. For this we send you by the word of the Lord, thus saith the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not be caught away or go before them which are in the ground, the body sleeping. Then he tells you the mechanics. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. Now that's going to bring them forth into mingling. See? Because the dead in Christ shall rise first. See? That's going to be caught up in the air. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, these verses then, 15 to 17, describe how the living and the dead will be gathered to the wedding supper. They'll be here on earth. The dead will be caught up first, ahead. So even the seventh church age group, those that died, will go ahead of us, and we'll be the last ones to go up to the wedding supper. And we learn the time and conditions of this great coming together, when the entire bride will be here. Now, it doesn't say she'll be in one place on earth. She'll be in one place when she's caught up. Now, you'll find some places it seems so Brother Branham is saying they'll all be in one group on the earth. Now, but other places do not say that. So it's my understanding that they will be caught up into one place as they meet the Lord in the air, which is truly what is going to happen. Now, first we want to examine and learn all about the time this happens. Now, of course, what we're talking about then can happen according to verse 15. It's the time of the coming of the Lord, when the living and the dead are going to mingle. It can be at no other time. It's at the time of the coming of the Lord. And the living of the last age will be heirs to 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 54. Behold, I show you mystery. We shall not all die, but we'll all get changed. See, without a resurrection. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, this corruptibility must put on incorruptibility, and this mortality must put on immortality. So when this corruptibility shall have put on incorruptibility, and this mortality shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now that is what's going to happen to the living bride standing there. And of course, the dead will fulfill Romans 8, verses 11 and 23. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. And verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groaning in ourselves, waiting for the adoption, waiting for the redemption of the body. Now that's the dead, are going to be redeemed in their body, coming out of the ground, born again out of the ground. But the others will be born again in their own flesh. See? Because your rebirth is threefold, body, soul, spirit. But your body must be brought back. But your body didn't go anywhere. So what happens is, the inner processes of the Holy Spirit, by the Word, putting on immortality, until as Brother Branham said, like a sweet goes over you, and you're no more what you were. Now that is what's going to take place. Now, the Scripture says here, I would not have you concerning them which are asleep, that you soar not as others which have no hope. Because if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also, which sleep in Jesus, will God bring forth out of those graves the same way as He brought forth Jesus. For this we send you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede or go before those who are in the ground are fallen asleep. Now, the Greek word for coming in this scripture is parousia, which does not mean coming at all. Well, that's the first thing to disabuse your minds. The word does not even mean coming. What it actually means, coming from the Greek word paramai, is to be present. Not coming, but to be present, to be here. Now let's look at the scripture where the same word is used. We go to Luke chapter 13. And in verse 1, there were present, there were in the parousia, at that season, some that told him the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Now, the only way they could be present was that they had come. But they're not talking about the coming. They're talking about the presence. These people are present. Okay, we go to John 11 and verse 28. And we see the same thing again over here. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come. But the Master is here. The Master is present. And He calls for you. Now, He couldn't call if He's just coming. He has already arrived. But let's get the good one. Acts 10, 33. This is perfect. This is Simon, the tanner, or John of Cornelius' house, rather, and Simon Peter. Verse 33. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come, that you're present. Now, therefore, we are all Parousia. We're here. We've come together. We've arrived. We're present. And notice, I love it, before God, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Now, notice the recognition of God in your presence. Now, it really means a being present with. Not the act of arriving, but a period of time more or less extended. It fixes the attention on the stay following the arrival. You could not have a person present without him having come. But the thought is not coming. The thought is he is here now at this moment. Thus, it should never be used with the idea of the actual specific time of arrival concerning Jesus' return to earth. Never could be used that way. But it certainly refers to a definite period when it is relative to his coming and is a part of that coming. Now let's take some more scripture. Let's go to 2 Peter 1:16. Now, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the parousia, the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Now, what is that based on? That is based on Matthew 17:1-8, in the Mount of Transfiguration, when they stood there and saw Jesus present. They're looking at him. Right there present. Now, thus we see in 1 Thessalonians 4:15, the coming is an indefinite period of time which takes place and embraces the events of verses 16-17. Let's take a look at it. If we believe, no, for this we send you by the word of the Lord, thus of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain under the presence of the Lord shall not go before them that are asleep. For the Lord himself, how is he going to become present? Shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then there's something going on. How long? I don't know. Brother Branham said the resurrection would be a minimum of 30 days. So, with these things in mind, with a shout, and the voice, and the trumpet, the wedding supper, you can see that this is an indefinite period of time. We can easily see that this parousia, or presence of the Lord, is a period with a beginning, a course of events, and a conclusion, or the whole picture, or as Brother Brown would call, a panoramic. Its beginning is 1 Thessalonians 4:15. His presence, having come, he is here. And the conclusion, I believe, is in Revelation 19:7-9. And continuing also, right on further. In verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and the wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is righteous and saints. And he saith unto them, unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and so on. And then in verses 11-16 is where Jesus Christ comes back with the bride to take authority with a rod of iron, which is Armageddon, to get ready for the millennium. Now, let's just stop a moment here and recapitulate, because we want to emphasize again what the word parousia really is, and which is erroneously called the coming. And it were actually best, according to men like Dr. Vine, one of the greatest Greek authorities who ever lived, that this word should not have been even translated. It should have been called the parousia with a footnote, so that people would not get carried away with a misunderstanding. Because the way we have been taught it is a complete misunderstanding of that word. See? Notice again, it is not the event of arrival, the exact time that a person came. But the person having come, that same person is remaining present for an extended period of time, or perhaps never leaving. May never leave again. See? Now, then if this is the truth in this, how could anyone ever know the exact time of Christ coming? He'd be there, and it's too late. having already come. See how everything in Scripture always dovetails, lines up, see? Thus we note that the Lord, according to verse 15, has already arrived and is presently with the living, even before one dead is raised physically to immortality. This parousia, or being present with the living, is by the Lord Himself descending. He actually comes down and is present. And it is not Acts 2:2-4, when the Holy Ghost came. It is not Matthew 28:20, when He said, "Lo, I am with you always to the end of the world." It is not that at all. And it must be a known, definite presence of which the saints are aware. That He is present with them by descent and staying with them was what we saw in Acts 10:33. Let's go back and look at that, because I said that was the one that was really a clincher. That's a beautiful one. Now, immediately therefore I said to thee, "And thou hast well done that thou art present. Now therefore, we are all here present before God to hear all the things that are commanded thee of God." And you can see how that fits right this message perfectly. God Himself coming down. See? And in His presence, we gathered before God to hear. See? And notice that this man was speaking to Peter, but recognizing God through Peter. See? We'll talk about that later on more. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians 16:17. Just want to see just different scripture on this. "I am glad of the coming of Stephanus and Fortunatus and Achaeus." Now right away you know that he is glad because they're there. Then you know that you've got to be glad because he is here. According to 1 Thessalonians. Again, in 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, verses 6 to 7, the same idea. "Nevertheless, God, who comforts those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not by his coming only." That again is parousia, by Titus being present. It wasn't, now it was joyful news that Titus was going to come, but the comforting could only be done when Titus was there. See, Titus was present. Now, what I am presenting here is absolutely foreign and contrary to all present-day teaching, and nowhere, as far as I know, in any books of theology or eschatology is this taught the way I'm teaching it today. It is the revealed teaching of a vindicated prophet who, in describing or parallel Paul Revere's ride concerning the enemy, who was screaming concerning the enemy is coming. Brother Brown said, "I'm not riding midnight trail saying he, Jesus, is coming. He's already come." Again, the same prophet said in the rapture tape, "When you see God come down from the heavens, stand before groups of men, stand there and declare himself just as he ever did, that's the truth, and this Bible open." Now, he wasn't saying that this is, I'm swearing to you and telling you with this Bible in front of me. He was telling you, it's in the Bible, that's the way God always did it. Let me read some quotes now. One, "And today he's standing amongst us in the person of the Holy Ghost." Where was he yesterday? But not the same way. Brother Branham could not say. If he's talking about Acts 2:4 now, and Matthew 28, he couldn't be talking about this. He's talking about him standing in a way that he's never stood for centuries until this moment. You watch. Listen, say it again. "And today he's standing amongst us in the present person of the Holy Ghost, manifesting himself more and more, coming into his church, making himself known during God's service." Number two, "The Son of Man has already come from glory and is revealing himself for the past few years to his church in mercy, showing them his great presence, doing the same things he did when he was here on earth." What is he here on earth? It's Jesus. "Revealing himself like he did to Abraham before the destruction." How? In a human figure. "He has come down now in mercy, revealing himself to the church. The next time he reveals himself, it will be in the judgment on the world and nations that forgot God. That was preached in 1958, where the church goes through the tribulation. Three, the headship here, amen. Christ the risen Lord, it's here in the same power of his resurrection that he ever was manifesting himself. Four, now we know that Christ is here. Where was he years ago? He was here, but not this way. Maybe you don't see him with your eyes, but through vision I tell you he's here. Souls in prison. Five, and when the seals are broken and the mystery is revealed, down comes the angel, the messenger, Christ, setting his foot on the land, and see, with the rainbow over his head. Now remember, the seventh messenger is on earth at this time of his coming. Parousia, preach. Page 74. Six, the seventh seal brings him back to earth. Souls in prison. The seventh seal brings him back to earth. It says so. Better watch that seventh seal then. Number seven, because the seventh seal was there was silence. No one knew what that the minute or hour that Christ would come as he revealed it to us. First seal. Like I said a while ago, how are you going to know? You can't tell when he comes. You know when he's present. And that presence doesn't mean it's too late. Keep going. Eight. After almost 2,000 years, God has visited again. Where was he before? I thought he was here all the time. He was, but not this way. Going beyond the camp. Nine. That brings the entire fullness of the Godhead bodily amongst you. God's only right to praise and worship. Ten. Listen, here's what. Listen to this now. Number ten. The Elijah of this day is the Lord Jesus Christ. He has come according to Luke 17 and 30. He's the Son of Man that's to reveal himself amongst his people. Not a man, God, but it will come to a prophet doing God a service. 11. The headstone coming into the body. That's the Redeemer coming to take his own. He is here with us. Future home. Number 12. This will be 14 quotes so far I'm giving you. Two already you got. That life is present here tonight. That's right. The Holy Spirit is here. It is Jesus Christ in spirit form. His spirit, the anointing, is here. Leadership. Now there's your quotes. Now, we will take some other verses of Scripture that we have always used to express the sudden advent or coming of a person, and especially Jesus in a physical form, but in the Greek or parousia. So we go first of all to a real good chapter, Matthew 24. And here we will really see some things that nobody knows but the bride. Now, three. And he sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came in privately, saying, tell us when these things shall be. What will be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Now this is where he says here, the sign of thy parousia, the sign of your presence. Now, this is based upon verses 1 and 2. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said, see you not all these things? Verily I say, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Then they asked the question, and this question extends over a period of time concerning his presence. There's an extension of time there. See? Now, something is going on. So let's keep reading. We go now to verses 4 and 5. And Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the sheep shall deceive many. See? Now, what's he saying here? He's telling you, at the time of his presence, when he comes back, there will be many people saying that they are Christ. See? Now, let's keep going. Let's take 23 to 28. And if any man shall sin to you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. Now, what's he talking about? What is the sign of thy presence? What is the sign when you have come back? See? Now, lo, here is Christ, there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, showing such great signs and wonders, insomuch, so mighty, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say to you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth, the secret chamber, believe it not. Now, let me just stop here a second. I want you to notice, brother, sister, that these are not signs as the fundamental Christians try to teach us, signs pointing to his coming, but signs pointing he has already come. Not signs pointing to his coming. Signs pointing he has come. Now, let me go further. And if this doesn't crack you up, nothing will crack you up. 27:20. For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For where the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered. Now, the only man living to catch the scriptures, Brother Branham, for he said the light travels from the east to the west. But you and I think of lightning. Like that. It's over. It's not. The light travels. And when it travels to the west, it says, there will the carcass be and the eagles gathered. And that is not an instantaneous thing. That is over a process of time. Nobody but William Branham ever brought this out. And nobody can bring it out of Scripture unless you understand the doctrine that Brother Branham preached. And when he said he's not coming, he's already come, he meant it. Now, don't get your minds made up. Just keep listening, because I'm going to take a twist later and show you where people ran with this doctrine. The devil crept in before the time to release it and made havoc amongst the people. Now, don't think when I make a statement like that, Lee Vale teaching means that God had to show me to tell you. But I'm telling you that they didn't understand it. And today you are getting an absolute, perfect revelation, not because Lee Vale, but because it's thus saith the Lord. I'm not saying thus the Lord, the prophet said thus to the Lord. See? Now, this proves right here that this has nothing to do with an instantaneous thing. It's the presence. I'll give you a quote later on how wonderful this is. Not an instant snap, the lightning snapping, but the light traveling. That's how his coming is going to be. The light from the east is going to reappear in the west, and the eagles, the great eagle and the little eagle, are going to feed on his word. For remember, Moses ate the same manna Israel ate. No difference. The word that Brother Branham lived is the same word you and I live. The word that gives him life is the same word gives us life. There is no difference in a body. God has said him as he wants him. There's no difference between a toe and an eyeball, or a fingernail and a heart. See? See how beautiful this is. Now, with this, let's go to Matthew 27 and 39. Notice the prolonged period. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And everybody thinks that's future. It is not future. As the days of Noah, so shall the parousia, the presence of the days of the Lord, be. For as in the days before the flood, they're eating and drinking, marrying and giving marriage, until the day Noah in the ark, and knew not till the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the parousia be. In other words, he is right here with us until he takes us away. Okay? Now remember, this is not Acts 2 and 4, nor Matthew 28, 20. This is 1 Thessalonians 4, 15. See? Knowing he is here. Now, as I said, a prolonged period of time with signs not pointing to his coming, but signs pointing he has arrived. That's why Brother Branham could scream. He said, can't you see what's done? And they couldn't. Him standing up there and preaching. See, knowing that the people would have to get this somehow, even when he was gone. But he laid it out for us, see? The signs pointing to his already presence and arrival. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15 and 23. It says, but every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his parousia. And it tells you right there, there cannot be a resurrection unless he's present. He's got to be here. Now, remember, brother, sister, this is true to form. Because, listen, when Jesus was there in the first part of the first resurrection, he was there before anybody else could come. He came out and brought them with him. And the same scripture says God will bring forth with him. The same one has got to be here to bring them forth. Why? Because he can't change. Let me tell you something. Brother Branham Warren, he said, if you ever deny that the way Jesus Christ does anything is different from what he used to do, then he's no longer the same yesterday and today and forever. He's got to be the same Jesus in every particular. He cannot change. He can't change what he's doing. Then he's got to be here to bring him out of the grave. See, not somebody else. Remember, when we speak of Jesus to save, we are not talking of the physical flesh. We're talking of the word Joshua, which is Jesus, which is Jehovah's Savior, which is Elohim, under a different appellation in order to give you a better understanding of his relationship to you. Now, he will be here. This is a part of his descent. Remember, Brother Branham said in the Stature of Perfect Man, page 48, in the evening time it shall be light. That's when comes Christ, the Holy Spirit. Jesus comes down and sets himself at the head of the church. Then he will resurrect the church being his own body. Now where's that off the scripture? 100%. Can't change it. Now, let's go to 1 Thessalonians 2:19. We're going to see the same verses again, same idea. Same verse. Now, what is our hope or our rejoicing? What is our hope or joy, crown, rejoicing? Rejoicing. Are not you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his parousia? Well, that's the truth. In that period of time. When's the presentation going to be made? Right in that particular area. Let's go to good one. 3:13, 1 Thessalonians. Now watch. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father. When? Anybody can read and say, well, Brother Vail, I believe I got it now. Hallelujah. I say, when did you say that, sir, this voice from the dead? Oh, Brother Vail, I said it 800 years ago. Well, you've got something wrong with you. I'm hearing a wrong voice. I've heard a wrong voice. You know why? Because it says, at his presence with all his saints. That's when the establishing comes. Not before. See, like that sealing Brother Brown spoke of. By that Holy Spirit, everyone is sealed, but there's another sealing coming. There's establishing way back there. There's another establishing. It says, at his presence in all his saints. Oh, I say, I don't believe that. I believe that has to do when it'll be proven. Hogwash. This is not man's idea now. This is his presence. The Persia. See, if you can flick scripture any way you want to flick it. But when you come across a vindicated prophet, you better see that word rings right down the line, word by word, quote by quote, or you'll find yourself on the ballpark. See? Now, he says right here. Now, listen. Let me read again. To the end, he may establish your... This is his presence. The Persia. If you can flick scripture any way you want to flick it. But when you come across a vindicated prophet, you better see that word rings right down the line, word by word, quote by quote, or you'll find yourself on the ballpark. See? Now, he says right here. Now, listen. Let me read again. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable and holy before God, even our Father. When? At the parousia of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints. That period of time. When the dead and the living are getting together, when his presence is going to do it. And there is a certain establishing that this man, Paul, knew would have to take place. Let me read it to you. It's right over here in Revelation 22, and John knew the same thing. Revelation 22, 10 to 15. And he said, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. What time? Yes, sir. The very thing he's saying over here. Establish your heart. Watch. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, filthy still. He that is rotten, how we got it. He that is righteous, righteous still. He that is holy, is holy still. And behold, I come quickly. My parousia, my reward's with me. Presentation, giving that according to his work should be. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's warning him. Why is this thrown in here? Suddenly he throws in. I'm Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end.
Because he wants to let them know that he's going to be here doing what he did back there. The same one. In the same way. No difference. It's identical. It's just the period of time is different. You see, blessed are they not to do his commandments, but have washed their robes. That they may have right to the tree of life. Back to the Garden of Eden. Back to the millennium. Do you realize, brother, sister, we're the only people where the tree of life becomes unguarded, we can walk over and become immortal.
Amen.
God said to Adam, he said, I'll not let Adam eat in that tree. If he does, he'll live forever in the shape he's in. But we'll live forever in the shape we're in, which is by Christ. What's in here and what he puts in us. Holy, righteous, unblameable. Have his coming right here in the presence of Christ. And he said, come here, my beloved, come to the tree of life, a sweet growth over us, and we're changed. See? All right, listen. Could it be that this verse in 1 Thessalonians 3, read again, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable. That's who's going to do it, Jesus. In hosts before God and the Father. When? At the parousia of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Now, could this be also where we find 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's take a look at it. Well, I'm telling you, it really is. Let's look at it now. And we're going to see verse 9. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but that which is perfect is come, that which is part shall be done away. When I was a child, spoke as a child, understood as a child, thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. For we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as I am also known. In other words, I'm going to know what knows me. It's going to be mutual. Two people love each other, but they only know each other when they get married. And sometimes that's too late. But a good marriage, the best thing in the world. It just keeps on going, going, going. The one fellow said, come with me. He said, the best is, you know, let's grow together. The best is yet to come. A lot of people can't see that. They're going to get rid of her and sack up with somebody else. Well, that's okay for the world. I'm talking about Jesus and the bride. Ephesians. The third, fourth chapter, verse 13, let's take a look at it. Now, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that all of them go together. And it says this stature is going to be reached in a place of perfection where in the presence of the Lord at no other time, under no other conditions. When the world's running here and there and running after this anointed one and that anointed one and they're saying he's going to come and we're saying hallelujah, he's already come. See? Yes, sir. As Brother Branham said, not looking back, not looking forward, but looking right here. Big difference. Okay, that's what it is. Listen, 2 Thessalonians 2 and 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the parousia of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Oh, it's perfect. His brother Branham said, that's the end time message. See? The parousia are coming together, and we cannot come together and be joined to him except his presence is here. See? Now, and then he said, don't be soon shaken in mind. Oh, there must be troubled times in that day. There sure are. Now, watch. The second chapter in the ninth verse. It says here, who's coming, who's present, is after the working of Satan, with all power and lying, signs and wonders. Now, don't you know the Antichrist is here for 3.5 years? That's time. It's the same word, parousia. Not the Antichrist just going to come and say, hey, goodbye, hello. For hello and goodbye, he's here. He's got his presence for 3.5 years, see? Let's go to James, the 5th chapter, 7 and 8. Oh, this is a good one here. Because we all know this one, about the end time. Watch it. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the parousia of the Lord. The presence. Watch. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience with until he received the early and the latter rain, and that is a period of time. And he's here during it. Right now. Be ye patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Now, he said, you watch for it. You get waiting for it. Now let's go to 2 Peter 3 and 4. That's the 3rd chapter, I'm sorry, and 4th verse. And saying, where is the promise of his parousia? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue from the beginning of creation. Now, that's based upon 5 to 9. For this they're willing hearing them, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was then was overflowed of water and perished. But the heavens and earth which now are by the same word are kept in store, reserved in the fire against the day of judgment for this ungodly men. In other words, the word wasn't fulfilled to bring him on the scene. But now the word is fulfilled to bring his presence to really fulfill it. How do you mean fulfill it? Because brother, sister, when the resurrection's here, what are you looking for? It's all over. There's no more left for any Gentile. It is completely done. Now, beloved, be not in this one thing. That one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years in one day, and the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, parousia. As some men count slander, but long suffering toward us, not willing any should perish, but all come to pass. Now listen, that's the days of Noah. But Jesus himself has already said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall the parousia be. And he said, you folk are counting slanders, and it's going on, and you don't even know it's fulfilled. That's what Brother Branham said, I'm not screaming he's coming, he's already done come. I'm right at midnight trail saying, he has already come. Okay, 1 John 2:28. Let's go over here. No scripture but dovetail. Now, little children, when you abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his parousia. And notice the word appearing and parousia is the same word. Not parousia, parousia, but he's saying in the appearing is at his parousia. See? Now, have confidence and not be ashamed. Why? What is John talking about? He's talking about people leaving the word. Oh my, they hated to hear, come back to the word. The prophet came vindicated. And they said, we can't believe that. We can't believe that. We can't believe that. And here's the word of God. And they were ashamed to identify with it. That's why the prophet said, are you ashamed of this word? Oh, hallelujah. They love Jesus, but they hate the word. Shame to be identified. They're ashamed of his presence. What is this here? Little children look out, he said, because they come and people are going to be ashamed of that word. Oh my, William Branham's name is sure hated, but so is Moses. Old Pharaoh must have had a great time with Moses' name, but hallelujah, we're having a wonderful time ourselves. Yes, sir. Now, with this understanding that 1 Thessalonians 4:15 is a definite period of time rather than a momentary arrival, that he has already come and he is here, let's go to verse 16 of that fifth chapter, fourth chapter, 1 Thessalonians. Now, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. He said it's written in God's word. God's own word is telling you this. That we which are alive and remain unto the parousia, the present, shall not go before them that are asleep. In other words, God's not going to do a great and mighty work here. And then we'll be taken off if something happened to the dead. Paul was emphasizing what a mighty work this would be in the disciples of Christ and those members of the body of Christ, that they might think, oh, that we're going to have some great thing and take off. He said, oh, no. No, he said, in spite of that, great thing coming that the world's looked for, all the ages have looked for, the wise men, the scribes, the great prophets, the great men of God look for, it's going to happen to you people, the end of the world's going to come upon you. He said, for all of that, he said, the dead will come out of the grave first, then they'll take off and you'll follow. See? All right. Now, in verse 16, it says that Jesus is going to do three things for the Lord himself. Not somebody else, but the Lord himself. Who's the Lord of the church? Jesus. He's the husband. He is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and number three, with the trump of God. That's exactly. There will be a shout, which is a military command. There will be a voice of the chief messenger. There will be the trump of Almighty God. After the trumpet sounds, the resurrected ones will be snatched up into the air. When the trumpet sounds. Now, remember, Jesus does all three in descending. And I used to be always confused about that, see? And I never could figure. I got a board here, good. I always thought he's coming down, see? Here's down here. So it's coming down, it's shouting. Then we got a board. Then we got a trumpet. Not so. He comes down. Here. And here it shouts voice trumpet. Yes, sir. Don't get confused because you're thinking something different, Brother Van thought. Now, I already showed you, my brother and my sister, that it was in his presence here the dead rise. It is here the shout goes forth. He's present. And I will show you now, the rapture is the same thing. We go to Matthew, the 17th chapter. Now in verse 1, after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and that word in the Greek is he takes them in his arms, and they rise up together. That's exactly why Brother Branham said the Holy Ghost would be taken off of this earth. He which hinder will hinder, he'd be taken out of the way, and I could never figure it, because the same Holy Ghost is here to feed 144,000. Then how could the prophet be right? Because he is right. This Holy Spirit, this one, this Jesus. See, he's going to pick us up, and we'll all rise with him. He does all three in descending. Shout, voice, trumpet. Presents us right to the presence of God. Then the living ones will be caught up and we'll meet them in clouds and go to the marriage supper. Now, by divine revelation, the prophet said that the shout was a message and sent forth to get the bride ready. As John the Baptist foreran the first coming of Christ, so your message will forerun the second coming. Now, John was here just a little while before Jesus came. So was our prophet. And while John was here, Jesus was here to be pointed out, to be shown who he was. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's got to be the same. And this is where people make the mistake. They say he's the same, but to them he is not the same. Because if he is the same, he cannot vary. What he did once, he'll do again. And again, because he cannot change. And he said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. So when he is at the end, he must be identical to what he was at the beginning, or he's not the same. See? All right. John revealed him who was present among them. I say, John revealed him, Jesus, who was present among them. There is one present among you whom you don't know. I'm going to point him out. Jesus had already come, and John said, there he is. It's got to be the same today. That's what William Branham had to do. Now, listen to the Feast of the Trumpet. Now, how it said. Now, in the little book you got from Brother Border, he says a little different here. To be something was wrong. I'm not saying he's wrong, but I went back to the tape. And here's what I heard. You hear what you want to hear, but here's what I heard. Now how it said he shall appear. That's the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. In the last days, is to bring the people back to the Word so the bride will know her husband, her mate, the revealed Word. Now that said what the appearing is. A Holy Ghost vindicated prophet told you what the appearing is. I'll read it again. Now how it said, he shall appear in the last days, is to bring the people back to the Word, so the bride will know her husband, her mate, the revealed Word. Is not this identical to 1 John, the 3rd chapter, verse 2? I'll never forget when God first showed me this. I preached and pulled over there in Marion, Indiana, when it just came to light. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it hath never yet come to existence what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now everybody uses it for the rapture. And you say, well, how are you going to be in the rapture? They say we're going to be changed and caught up to see him. The Bible says opposite. The Bible says you're going to see him here and get your change to be caught up to see him. Now who's right? A bunch of theologians, a bunch of fundamentalists, a bunch of Pentecostals of the matter. It said, now we're the sons of God, and it hath never yet come into us we shall. In other words, this is something we're all waiting for. But we know that when he shall appear, that's the appearing right down here, his presence. You've got to see him as he is. You've got to know as you're known. That will change you and catch you up to his glory. Now, the bride's got to know her name. She's got to see him. See, once she sees him, that does it. That's the one she loves, see? Now, so we see right here that what the shout is, it is Christ, the anointed living Word descendant, declaring and vindicating himself and showing that he is that one, even Jesus the husband. Listen. Oh, brother, sister, can't you see? If Jesus said, let there be light, there was light, like I preached a sermon here, and Brother Dick was here. Well, he wasn't here that Friday night, but that Friday night I preached on what the Holy Spirit's been doing. Remember that? All right. I brought it and showed you. The Holy Spirit, let there be light, there's light. Let the dry land appear, the dry land appear. Now, and then, if he must, being Word, or that Word being God, must put upon itself a creature manifestation in order to come across to the people, then how much more at this end time must there be a manifestation so we know what we're looking at? That same Word that says he must appear, then God must hold that Word in flesh, in a creation form. in order to come across. That's how God took a prophet. And people want to make him God in every stupid thing under high heaven, dishonoring God and dishonoring the prophet. My! See? Now, at this end time, it must be that way. See? Now, it is Christ the anointed living word descended. It is. Declaring and vindicating himself and showing that he is that one, even Jesus the husband. And that's not against the scripture. Let me show you right here. If I can find it. Sometimes my mind really goes on this at one time. In 1 John anyway, the scripture here, oh yeah, beloved, yeah, no, here, hereby we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now, that's not having anything to do with Pentecost, where they say, I'm going to challenge the Spirit. Did Jesus Christ come in the flesh? And the Spirit say, oh no, he didn't. Oh, that Spirit is tricky. You think you can fool the devil? Everybody thinks he can fool the devil. Oh, how smart we are. And so the old devil knows our tricks. And so he says, no, he didn't come in the flesh. That has nothing to do with trying devil. What it is to try this. If it's the Spirit of Christ in you, you will recognize when Christ reveals himself in human flesh. And for anybody to say he doesn't is Antichrist. And so therefore was with Paul and every church-age messenger until the last messenger. So the last messenger, the prophet, is the living word of God manifested in human flesh. Of course, that's Jesus himself. But it also applies to those that he talks about because, look, we're not going to have the rain, the wind, the moon. It's going to be a man of God. It's going to be human flesh, right? All right. Now, the living word, our husband, even Jesus, even... Listen, even in the resurrection you're warned. The flesh of the fish comes up fish. The flesh of the animal comes up animal. The flesh of the bird comes up bird. The flesh of the human being comes up human. No reincarnation, no transmigration of soul. It's an absolute resurrection. So therefore, God is going to use a human form, which is a man. And he does it. See? Now, that means, now listen, because the bride now knows the groom. See? It's been revealed. That means it has got to be a marriage. It has got to be marriage supper time. For what is bride and groom all about but marriage river? Now, Brother Branham said, disappearing here, is where the bride gets to know the groom, her mate. Now then, if she gets to know the mate, it's under one consideration, she's got to get married. Because she can't come to that person until it's married. They're separated. So they're coming for the marriage supper. The great big marriage dinner is what it really is. Now, but listen, though that is true, remember, all the bride is not here. So there has to be a resurrection of the sleeping one. Now notice, that's the shout. Now, if the shout is where the bridegroom comes down, the anointed word himself to reveal himself to the bride, then there's got to be marriage supper. True. Then if there's going to be a marriage supper, it means that all the bride has got to be here to get married. But all the bride is not here to get married, though he is here. Then the rest have got to come up. Can't you see that's exactly right? Brother Branham said the shout was the message and the voice was the resurrection. It has to be, because the third thing is the marriage supper. So, if one is the shout to get us together, the voice has to be the voice to get them out of the ground. Bring us all together. Take us all up in glorified body. See? Because we're ready to get our bodies before the dead even come out of the ground. See? Now, so there has to be a resurrection of the sleeping one. Thus, if the shout is the message or the gathering, then the voice has to be the resurrection. And this is true. Let's go to John 11 where Brother Branham took us. Now, don't try to figure. Just listen. Because that's all anybody can do. Now, beginning at verse 19. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him. But Mary sat still in the house. Jesus hadn't come yet. Then said Mary unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now Jesus has come. But I know even now, whatever you ask of God, God will give it you. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection of life. No, he said, thy brother shall live again. And Martha said, I know he shall rise in the resurrection at the last day. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And therefore, those that properly believed in Jesus Christ and died are going to live. When he, as the resurrection, stands there. But he can't stand there as the resurrection until resurrection time. Now, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she said, Yea, Lord, I believe. Now, 34 and 38 gone. Verse 38. Jesus therefore again groaning himself came to the grave. It was a cave and a stone laid upon it. Then Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, sister of him that was dead, said, Lord, by this time he stinks it in 4 days. This is going to be her genuine resurrection now. Jesus said unto her, Said I not to thee, that if thou wouldst believe, you'd see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone, the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because the people would stand by, he said, That they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried loud, Lazarus, come forth! See? And he was dead, came forth bound in hand and foot with a great clothes, napkin about his head, and Jesus said, Loose him and let him go. Now listen, that same voice was over in Matthew 27, 50 to 53. It certainly was. Now what? Jesus, when he cried a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And when behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went to the holy city and appeared unto many. Now what was it? This voice that Jesus screamed on Calvary woke up the sleeping dead, and they said, Hallelujah! It's time for the resurrection, because they knew they had to come back. But they weren't back yet. They had to wait till Jesus cried open the doors and took them out. But they were wakened up. And right now, the same people in the New Testament who have departed are listening for that voice screaming forth to say, It's time to go back and get your body. In other words, waking them up to give them a body. Now, listen. Remember, the voice woke up the sleeping dead, preparatory for the body to come out in the resurrection. Christ comes to them first. Remember, Brother Branham's vision. They said, Christ will come to us first and judge you, then we'll come back. Come back why? To get your body. Evidently. Waking them up. As we down here are wakened up to the crucial hour, they there are wakened to their crucial hour. Now, the same thing is here in 1 Thessalonians 4:14. Let's look at it. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring forth with Jesus. Going to bring them forth. Going to bring them out of the grave. Now listen, brother, sister. Let's get this straight here. That these people who have departed are in a theophonic body, which is not the best term, but it's good enough. Or as the word of God calls a spiritual body. And Brother Branham was there with them. And they hugged each other. They couldn't eat. They couldn't drink, but they were sensing. They could feel. See? They were in a spirit body. And Brother Branham called them theophanies. It's a fine word. Good enough. Now, because you see, they're the word members of Christ, so the theophanies have a text. So the word theophany is theophanera, which means God showing himself forth, which is he's pouring yet is good enough. All right. In these bodies, my brother, sister, they'd have to come back and get a physical body. See? A glorified body. Now watch. They are going to descend and be right here on earth before they get those physical bodies. Let me caution you. I don't know if they'll get those bodies right away. What if they come down here and can go right through a wall? Now, Brother Branham said, if you see your loved one come up that path, open the door, let him in. But what if in that period of time before they take on their robes of flesh, they walk around here, come right through a wall? What is to stop the temptation of being in the resurrection of those 40 days? Now, let's just say that these people begin to carry on. It's going to drive people stop crazy mad. It'll drive millions to not just insanity, but spiritually. Because they're wide open for it. Could it be something for the bride? I remember, Brother Branham said the resurrection would be a minimum of 30 days. So I'm not saying this is it. I'm just saying one thing. Remember, everything that's in the air has a bit of truth to it. And don't turn aside the tent vision and say, Brother Branham can't come back and do something
because Brother Branham can come back and do something that God wants him to. But just keep your heart open and don't get carried away. The great danger is, the minute you begin seeing something or think you do, then you want everybody to see it the way you do, or they're out. And brother, sister, not even you or I, all of us can prove one iota rich. By the grace of God, we hope that we are and trust that we are, but we can't prove. So don't put anybody out and don't put anybody in. Because this is a shady spot right here that Brother Branham warned you. Because listen, they got to come down to put on those bodies, my brother, sister, and they're real as you can be. You could reach out maybe in this flesh right here. Although your flesh may seem to be passed through there. Again, it might not. What if they walked up and hugged you? See, Brother Branham was not in that glorified flesh. He was in a vision, a thought as a real thing, with his body lying there. Yet he was feeling. Who is to say we might not feel something? I'm not saying you will. I'm just saying, don't you get your mind made up about anything, because the prophet said the revelation lay in the manifestation. And when it manifests, that's when you know. In the meantime, hold and say, it could be. It could be. See, don't turn your back. Don't fuss, because it could be there. Listen, that Jesus himself does this, as the prophet said, is Philippians, the 3rd chapter, verses 20 to 21. Let's take a look at it. Now, you all know these verses when I read them. Listen. For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, Jesus himself descending, will change our vile body, that it might be fashioned like his own glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And remember, his ability is in the resurrection. Ephesians, the 1st chapter, 15 to 23. Read it for yourself. I've read it many times. Yes, sir, he is going to do it. Then the trumpet blast will catch us up to meet in clouds and go to the supper face to face. See, he physically does not come to us physically. We go to him physically. His coming, that which we are discussing, is not his physical presence, his physical form. It is his spiritual form, the Holy Spirit. Let us just see that. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the Greek plainly lets us know the shout is not said to be the very voice of Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout. And the Greek does not say that he himself shouts. It just says there is a shout and he descends with the shout. Now, listen. Here's what Brother Branham said. I want you to know this is sure. And you that listen to this tape, you might have thought that I was trying to say that about myself, being I was packing or preaching this message. I have no more to do with this message than nothing. No more than just a voice. That's exactly Deuteronomy 18. Only the prophet can hear God and come back and tell us. See? He's the voice. The Lord himself shall descend him with a shout. In other words, he is in that shout. He is in that military command. See, it's marching orders. We go up in ranks like an army. Get in step, he screamed. Brother Branham, not knowing one word in the Greek, had a vision. And he's screaming like, get it, sir! That's the first thing you've got to learn in any army, man's army, is learn to get in step. Because if one person's out of step, the whole nation can die. Or the whole army's gone. See? You mean to tell me Christ is going to lose the whole body of somebody out of step? Nonsense! The prophet came, and it was his voice. See? Next. Who could be that voice of the chief messenger to raise the dead? The prophet told us he was doing all three in John 5 and 25. Let's take a look at it. Here it is again. We got the shout. The prophet did it. Now, John 5, the voice. And I said 3:25. Listen. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming now when the voice, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now notice it says Son of God, not Son of Man. So evidently the time of the Son of Man's over. I'm not saying I'm preaching doctrine here, but could it be true that the time of the Son of Man is over? Then what could Brother Branham do to get us out of the grave? I don't know what he can do, because he's got to get taken out of the grave himself. Just like Paul and the rest of them, Irenaeus, Polycarp, Martin, Columba, Wesley, Luther. The great ones of old, and not so great of old. All great in the sight of God, because he's the great one. See? Now he's going to bring them out of the grave. Now listen. This took place, of course, we read in Matthew, the voice. And it is yet to take place, because he's the same yesterday and today and forever, and only the first half of the first resurrection is over. Brother Bam said to himself. Now we must note here that the dead hear the voice of the Son of God and the Son of Man. The prophetic voice days are over. The word has been fulfilled in the bride, I believe. Now, and the last ones have come into Christ. The last ones have come into Christ, or the dead cannot be raised. Now, I know of no statement of the prophet that defines the voice other than what he said in John 11 and Matthew 27. That's all I know. Is that Jesus does it. Now listen, rapture day, 26. One day there will come a blast from heaven, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, he says that blast, the trumpet will take them up. Well, who gets them out? The same one that lifts them up. Who gathers them? The same one that brings them forth. It's Jesus, Holy Spirit. I put my faith in no man but Christ. Now, we can look back here on James 5 and 7 for a moment. We read a while ago. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman, that's Jesus, waiting for the precious fruit of the earth, that's the body, has long patience for what? The fruit of the resurrection. Until he received the earning ladder rain. And it cannot happen until that time. Now, here is evidence that Jesus himself, as the prophet said, wrought the shout or former rain or teaching rain, because Jesus is the husbandman and he is to get the teaching rain and the ladder rain. It's Jesus himself who has both rings, the teaching and the dynamism, the mechanics and the dynamics. And you can't get it any other way. The best anybody can do is point you to it. William Branham was a voice standing by. He was not the voice. And yet, away he was the voice. William Branham was not the Word of God. The Word of God was here. Such nonsense coming out of Jefferson. William Marion Branham, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's a lie. Marion Branham is not the same yesterday and forever. It's Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus, who is the Christ. It's enough that he could stand in there and point us. What a privilege. A man foreordained, predestined, predestinated to stand there. Somebody come by and then try to steal the glory from God. Not the prophet of God, I'll tell you that flat. Now, this former rain and latter rain, Christ bringing the word, and the very life in the word coming upon us to bring it living life, which is the word of the hour, resurrection, is guaranteed to bring up the dead. Thus it says in verse 8, what we are to watch for. Be also patient. Establish your heart. For the coming, the parousia, is drawing near. He said it's coming a time when that one who promised to do it will do it. Not everybody believes he's going to do it, but they don't know how he's going to do it. And it was the messenger, William Branham, anointed of God, vindicated, who told us how it's going to be. Therefore, grudge not against one of the brethren, lest ye be condemned. And that's the place where we stand right now. There's people believe this message, and they're putting everybody else for their own thoughts and ideas. Even my best friends that I thought would never be corrupted. No more could stand in the middle of the road than nothing. But I've got great signs of encouragement too. Getting letters again. Say, Brother Bill, come on over. Ready to get in the middle of the road again. Brother, sister, stay in the middle of the road. Don't turn your head. A great fellow that's a great doctor, an eye doctor. He taught people how to get their eyesight back by simple exercise. He said, I'll tell you wrong here, they turn their head. He said, you don't turn your head. Learn to turn your eye. I remember when I was a kid. Maybe that's what got my sight back and it's so bad. I learned to come in the room to see how far I'm going to see here. How far I'm going to see there. What can I see here? What can I see there? Because I want to see. There's not people knowing I was looking. You know something? That's right. Spiritual people don't turn their head. The last moving part of the eyeball is stand the one. They put blinders on horses. The deep in this message is within. My God, they got wonderful neck muscles. But their eye muscles are short. Too true. Now, thus the latter rain, which was already here and waiting for the former rain, unites with the word, so the mechanics and dynamics come together, which in my opinion will, if there is a third pull in the bride, constitute it. Because when William Branham Brock was bringing the Word of God, the dynamism of the lantern ring had to be here to vindicate him. He had it. Then the two get together. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 10, just for 1 second. Now, I'm just kind of throwing it just kind of fast at you. I might not even do this, but just leave it out, but it won't hurt you anymore. I should break this down more and more, but Brother Lou will break it down more and more for you. Don't worry. Now, listen. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, and the Lord will send bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. Now, do you know right there telling you that you're asking for something in the time of latter rain? You don't have grass for latter rain. The time of latter rain, you got it. You're asked for rain. What rain? The former rain, in the time of the latter rain. It began to fall in 1906. See? But the true latter rain was proven in the prophet's ministry. See? Because he had the former rain. And God anointed him as nobody else. Now, listen. I believe when these two coming together will give the third pull in the bride, whatever that third pull is. If a ministry is coming, I believe it will be absolutely one where Brother Branham said, and it's got to come because he said it, when the bride and the word become so absolutely one, how are they going to turn the head this way and that way? Oh, they're going to keep the eyes straight ahead as the Bible just walk right on down. Nothing over here bothers. And the scripture says that, you know what they're going to be like? You read the second chapter of Joel, and it said their faces are just like a fire goes before them, leaving everything behind. That's the death's Armageddon. That's the tribulation. Jumping over walls of rapture. When those people go down that line and get ready to leave, brother, sister, how on earth shall you let judgment hits this world? They're gone. Yes, sir, but have the Spirit on you. That if we're not bribed, there's a bribe up here somewhere. By the grace of God, I'll not stand in the way. You get that Spirit, brother, sister, you're 99% there. If you've got all this down pat and you haven't got the Spirit, you've missed it already. Prophet says. Because he said, I'd soon have the right doctrine and a wrong doctrine and the right spirit. And he said, the wrong spirit and the right doctrine. He'd be this much in, he said. Just maybe 1 take or 3 take. See? Yes, sir. Now, this latter rain and former rain together in the bride. This then would be the perfection or finished work of Christ in the bride so the dead can come forth. You say, why perfection? Because the word perfection in the Greek means conclusion and refining. In other words, at the end of the age, it's all over. Nobody more is going to come in. But remember, there's a training period going on where the people stay with that word. Because, brother, sister, I don't care what virtue comes out of that word. What virtue you show forth, pardon the expression. I don't care what virtue manifests itself. It had better be a virtue out of the word. How many virtuous sweetness out of the word we're seeing what's happening now with all this fiasco out of New York? Sure. You bet it's being shot down now. And I knew it would. I'm no prophet. But brother, let me tell you, if I am wrong in my spirit, and I am a wrong man, I'll be shot down too. I'll be manifested. Because the prophet said so. And you can have all the pseudo-love you want. And you can have all the talk you want. But as long as you dare say, you've got to come with me and believe like me. As far as I'm concerned, you are a liar, my brother and my sister. You better repent. I believe the way I'm going. Certainly I believe what I preach. I wouldn't be preaching. But I don't know that I'm right, and you don't have to believe me. And you may be dead or wrong. Not for you. You're telling me something, so I know something. No, sir. Say, get out of my way. Or poor little Jonah running off because they don't believe me. They are. I don't even believe myself, kidding. Why should you believe? I can't believe what I think. My thoughts are so far from the Word of God and the prophet. Vindicated, why should I believe myself? See? Believe what you want when I get through preaching this message. Do what you want. It's up to you, not to me. Listen. So this perfection coming upon this bride so the dead can come forth. For the scripture, Brother Branham said, for they without us cannot be made perfect, quoting the Word of God. And the Lutherans couldn't come forth without us. They can't do it because we've got to be brought in and the former and latter rain together to bring them up. Now the Bible said so. If the Bible said so, that's it. You mean to tell me that wasn't the Old Testament the same thing when they came out of the graves? It sure was. Jesus was that former rain. He was the teacher come down. He died. And the scripture was fulfilled. So that, and then when it was finished and fulfilled in him, God could bring them out of the grave. Same thing never changes, brother, sister. Now, some feel that since the word or voice is in the bride, she will bring forth a resurrection. I don't believe that from what I told you. I cannot see it. I believe he does. But he will be in it. But I don't see where I'm going to go forth and say, hey, come out of the grave. You know, one brother goes around preaching, he was the last man to see Brother Bramley's coffin. He'll be the first one to see him, he said. Thank you for laughing, said he. Give me all that. How does anybody know? What authority? What right? Guessing? Brother said, we're not here to guess. Look, I can be right today 100%. I can miss it by mine. Don't ever presume, because grace never presumes. The Father himself said, if we're not right, there's a bride somewhere. And by the grace of God, I'm not standing here. Don't get picked up. If you can get anything, bring yourself down. Because when you're down, there's no danger of falling. But there's a good thought that just somebody might pick you up. Okay? Now, listen. Then comes the wedding supper, when the dead are out of the grave. Because we all ascend to see the bridegroom in his physical incarnation, when eternal God once more is in human flesh. In a one person. Now, he is the Word. And remember, he the Word being in God once more is in human flesh. In a one person. Now, he is the Word. And remember, he the Word being immortal, she the Word also must become immortal because the seed is alike. Remember, Paul said it's the seed that brings forth the body. And if we are the seed of God, we will have the body of God. Yes, sir. Immortal flesh. Because that's what he's got. Now, this has to be so. As we read in Matthew 22, 8 to 14. Once I get to it here. Alright. Then he said, his service, the wedding is ready. But they which have been were not worthy. Go therefore in the highway, as many as you find. Fit the marriage. So the servants went out. And they gathered as many as they could find, good and bad. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, there was a man sitting in the hand on the wedding garment. And he said, friend, how did you come in amongst and have any wedding garment? The man was speechless. And he said, bind your hand and put them in the great tribulation. What is it? It's those who come to this message. They can be unbeliever and make believer. But they've got to be true believers to get the wedding garment on. Yes, sir. And they'll put it on. And what is it? It's that word in 1 Corinthians 15. See, when the trumpet, and the trumpet shall sound. That's not the trumpet bringing you to the marriage supper, my brother, sister. That is the seventh church age trumpet. When he shall begin to sound, the mysteries of God will be finished. In other words, God manifesting in human flesh, the beginning of the creation of God, finishing off his human creation. He signifies and says the word's going to do it. And then he brings our attention doubly for the trumpet shall sound. In other words, the word of God shall come to pass. Now the word of God, not man's word. Man's word of faith. Yes, sir. Now then, for a while, listen. We want to consider what we call his coming or actual arrival in his immortal body. Now let's look at scripture that talks about the actual arrival of the immortal body when he comes down to the Armageddon. Take over the earth. All right. Matthew 16. Now let's go to Matthew 24 and 30. I'm going to take Matthew 16, though, to tell you why. 28. Then he said unto them, there shall be some standing among you here that shall not taste the death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. That word is literally what we're talking about, the physical coming. And then he gets glorified, showing it'll be a glorified body that is seen. See? Now, verse 17 and 2. After 6 days, he takes Peter, James, and John, and so on, them was transfigured before him. So therefore, he will have a glorified body when he comes. That's another coming. That's the incarnation. That's the great one we talk about. Now, Matthew 24 and 30. Now look at it. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they'll see the Son of Man coming in clouds of heaven with power and glory. Clouds of heaven and power and glory. Matthew 25 and 27. Let's take a look at it. Now, it says here, When thou art to put my money to exchangers, that at my coming I should receive my own with usury.
That's when he comes back upon the earth and judges those who have destroyed the earth. He destroys them. He's coming physically in a certain aspect. Now, 26 and 64, these are better ones because they're much clearer. And watch what it says here. Then Jesus said, thou hast said, nevertheless, I say, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, coming in clouds of heaven. Now, Mark 13:24-27. But in those days after tribulation, the sun be darkened, and the moon turned to light. When? After the great tribulation. Verse 26. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and great glory. Chapter 14 and verse 62 of Mark. We're just going to give you the whole thing here. All right. 62. And Jesus said, I am. And you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power coming in clouds of heaven. Luke 21 and 27, the last one. See how they run together, brother, sister. Now, then they'll see the Son of Man coming in a cloud in great power and glory. That's not what's over here in Philippians, in Thessalonians. This is he coming in his own glorified body, taking his judgment and power and authority. He does not do that in the other places. He's gathering the dead together and the living as a bride to go in glory. Different thing entirely. Okay. We can see that this does not take place until the end of the Great Tribulation, as foretold in Revelation 19:11-16, where he comes in the Battle of Armageddon. Now, I wanted to bring this message to make you aware, that more aware than ever, of what the prophet said. People are all mixed up over the appearing and the coming. The fundamentalists say the appearing is the rapture, and the coming is at the end of the tribulation. That is not so. The appearing is the parousia of what we have mentioned now. He has already come. He's already appeared. Notice also, the appearing is on earth and precedes the rapture. He is already amongst us. And that appearing, listen, and that appearing was his revelation of the word bridegroom to a word bride. And here it is exactly as we said, Luke 17:26-30. Let's take a look at it. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, gave in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them. Likewise also was in the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planned to build. What's going to come upon the earth? Tribulation to kill the whole bunch. Now, but the same day the Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus it will be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So therefore the parousia, the coming, is the revelation. The apocalypse is drawing the cover back so that the word bride can see her anointed husband and say, I love him, I'm going to take him. You know that's exactly what the happened to the little girl in the Songs of Solomon. She saw him who was altogether lovely, and she heard his voice, and she followed him, and that's all she got of him till he came to her. But she sure went through misery to get him. Now, let's go to Colossians, the third chapter, and verse 4. Just carry this through quickly. The third chapter, verse 4. Listen. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. And you and I cannot appear in glory until first of all he's revealed in his pretty parousia. That's what 1 John said. Don't you see how the scripture dovetails? There is no place where it doesn't dovetail. But if you follow the coming of the Lord any other way, you'll run right into a mess. I've tried this for 30 years about it. I've taken the Greek, I've taken the students, I've laid it all out, and there's not one can bring it out of Scripture, not till Brother Branham gave us the key. And of course, I know the students will laugh in my face, but that's all. I'll have the last laugh. I have no problems. Just because I'll laugh with God in derision. They want to turn it down. That's their business. Listen. Notice 1 Peter 5 and 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall also receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And it's at the time when Jesus returns, Holy Spirit, that he himself in his parousia and in his apocalypse, the revelation. It is at that time, my brother, my sister, Brother Graham's vision, when he saw the judgment seat. And that's the wrong term. It's simply the bema, which means a raised up place where anybody can present himself or say what he wants to say. Come before the viewer. And that's when Jesus stands there and he said, Brother Neville, come up. Everybody rejoice. And finally, Brother Branham, come up. See, it's at that time, it's going to be, and not before that time. Again, in 1 John 2 and 28, you got the same thing, I read it before. And it says, and now little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, you may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him in his presence. In other words, this is the hour, my brother, sister, that in His presence, in His appearance, our confidence comes and says, I'm part of it. And everybody says it. Not somebody going by to believe in my way. Oh yeah, I got a lovely friend, and I love that man, but I want to tell you flat. He's got very rapid now. The Brother Branham's got to come back. They're praying for him to come back. And he keeps saying, now, Brother Bale, the scripture says, believe all that the prophets said. I said, read the rest of it. Begin of Moses and all the prophets, show me. And it's come down to one thing, though he himself doesn't know it. He's saying, I see it, you better see it too.
It'll chip and just sure as your eyes. Because remember, nobody's got to see anything you see.
Did Jesus come out and say, quack, quack, guilty, quack, quack, guilty, quack, quack?
He said, thank you, Father. You're healed today.
You got a whack-whack spirit on.
You ain't got nothing, my folks. And the Levi's guy, he ain't got nothing. I'm going to send my sins on before me. If I miss the whole thing, at least I won't have to go to the lake of fire and suffer a whole lot longer. Because of my stupidity. You say, Brother Bill, negative. Well, let me you prove. You prove today that you got it. You better get down, kiddo. Where the problem was. Because they said, Brother Ben, he said, what about, he said, if you don't make it? He said, if I've got the same spirit I got now, he said, I'll love him just as much as Christ. Now we're getting some. Listen, old brother, I'm not kidding you. I'm telling you the truth, as God is my judge. Listen. Now, here it is here. We might not be ashamed. See? We might love the word. Be happy. Say, this is it. See? Oh, identify. Go over here to 1 Corinthians. The 11th chapter. And in verse 10, notice. For this cause ought the woman to have authority over her head. Because of the angel. What am I comparing this for? Because as Brother Branham said, this woman here, because of the messengers, when that messenger comes, she's got short hair. She'll be ashamed. She's been off the word. And poor old John knew that there'd be a bride at the end time, and Paul knew she'd be off the word. Now in the presence of God, shame coming. But I'm going to tell you, that leads you to repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry it's off the word. See? People that don't understand this, don't identify with the word as they should. Because the word takes a minor place instead of the whole place. See? Because that's the life that came back upon us. Now, in closing, give me a few more minutes. Notice these final scripture that gives us further insight. And we're dealing with the word apocalypse, which means to take the cover off, disclose or reveal. And I read one to you. Luke 17 again. Just going back over it. Don't want to make a mistake. Even thus it'll be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. See? What is it? The conditions that existed when a prophet came on the scene. And the prophet reveals the Son of Man. Because remember, the Word descends by the prophet's spirit. People can't understand that. I got a lovely buddy. I love the man. But he never could see Brother Branham and thus said the Lord. He never could see what I was driving at right today. He can't. He reserves to himself the right to interpret the word of God and other men also. But the Bible doesn't say that. It's got to come by the prophet spirit. And when you've got a man with thus saith the Lord, you've got it all. Listen, Brother Branham did it under the separate seal that he alone had thus saith the Lord. See? They don't understand his language. But when you get that, you stay with it. And that's the revelation. The apocalypse is going on now by Christ himself revealing himself. And remember, the only begotten of the Father, who is in the bosom of the Father, has declared it. And that word in the Greek is exegesis, which means to explain thoroughly by word. It's no longer a picture worth 1,000 words. That's a lot of hogwash. The picture of Christ is the word. Don't take some stupid Chinese quote. My God, people do the stupidest thing, Bill. What's a stupid Chinese quote got to do with you and me? A picture's worth 10,000 words. Well, maybe that bunch of birds and heathens it is, but to us, no. It's the Word revealing Him. See? Why? Because all the people saw Him
what he's doing and ran away with their own ideas. Only the bride stood by to see the revelation of the Word.
Oh, my. Listen. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter. I'm sorry, 2nd Thessalonians, not 1st, 2nd Thessalonians. Now watch. 2nd chapter. 3rd verse. Let no man deceive any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed. You've got to take the cover off. How would you know him? There's got to be revelation. He's got an apocalypse. Let me tell you flat. When the Son of Man was revealed, the Antichrist was revealed. Because the Son of Man is the Word, and anything opposite the Word is Antichrist. Because it's instead of the Word. Look at the 6th verse. You know what will hold it till he be revealed in his time. Tells you again, Revelation, the 8th verse, that wicked one shall be revealed. See? Coming into view. How? By revelation. Thank God we won't be here when he's here. See? These are just some of the words. We go to 1 Peter, the 1st chapter. Just plain showing you the words, how they work all the same. The 5th verse, who are kept by the power of God unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In other words, the very salvation that every single person has is going to be revealed at the last time, and to us the revelation comes first in order to put on a perfection that they can come out of the ground because we don't go to the ground. The revelation, it has been pulled and stripped back. We're at the end of it. See? Okay, the 12th verse of the same chapter. And it says, unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us, the things they did minister, which are now reported unto you by them, the preached Holy Ghost. Preached unto you, the Holy Ghost sent down to heaven. In other words, this revelation. We are now getting revealed in our hour. That which was revealed in Word is now coming into full revelation. As Brother Brown said, the same Spirit that gave the Bible is here interpreting the Bible. Oh, my. That's what the prophet said. Everything the prophet said was right. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verse 1. Elders who are among you, exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. See? Now, that's what he's saying. He said, I exhort, because I'm a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and I partook of the glory. When did he partake of it? He partook of it on the Mount of Transfiguration. And he's letting us know that we are going to share in that which he saw, which was truly God revealed. 1 Corinthians, the 1st chapter. One, oh, let's watch this one here. 1 Corinthians 1, 7, 8. This should be very good. Now, watch. So that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. See? The parousia, who shall confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. The very thing that John said. In the revelation, all through Scripture, it tells you here that it's at the time of the parousia that the revelation comes that we are confirmed and say, look, it's all over. That's why Brother Branham could say the seventh seal is a period of rest. Entering right into the millennium. Taking us right in there, see? Now, that's where we're at. In closing, this, brother, I might say, this message might help you to understand why Brother Branham kept saying justification, sanctification, baptism with the Holy Ghost. Listen, this is the hour to where the Holy Spirit has come down in the form of a light, like he was at the beginning, a pillar of fire, and has manifested himself. Like he said to Paul, I'm Jesus, the same one did it now, doing the very same things he did when he was here on earth. Now, in closing, what's this message all about? I don't know what it's all about. I can't give you all the answers. But I know this. How in the world, if he has been revealed, and he is here, why are we still looking to a man or to men? Where's leadership? Brother Branham said Joshua is the Holy Ghost. And Joshua only went in there because of the word given to Moses. So therefore, the Holy Spirit is here now as Joshua following the word. He is here. And he is here to lead us. Then where are the great ones amongst us? There are no great ones. This is why I hate leadership. And refuse any type of leadership at all, so that no man can come around me and say, Brother Bill, here, I am not a leader. The Holy Spirit is here. And I'm not about to take any of his glory whatsoever. See? Now, Brother Brown said, that great one that is to come is not a man. And he said, if he is a man, I was not that one of the Scripture. And Brother Brown said, he must increase and I must decrease.
Who was he talking of? If he is in the mold of John the Baptist, he can only be talking to one person, and that's Jesus. So, that Jesus amongst us, the Word revealed, anointed, Holy Spirit, anointed, is here, then he must more and more increase amongst us. I want to know how in the world then we get a Branham cult out of this. Don't think I'm against William Branham. I love him. William Branham's going to come back. I believe he could well be the first one in the resurrection. Because the first and last, and I would certainly believe that the leader of the seven church age would be the first one. I believe that. But brother, sister, William Branham has been magnified to a place where one man has taken a picture off the head of Christ and put under my servant and under William Branham's picture, my Lord and my God. I want to ask you something. When Eliezer went to pick up Rebecca, and he told all about the gifts that his master had. The lovely gentleman waiting for a kindred to come and be a wife. Did she chuck him under the chin and say, "Now, Eliezer, what are you talking about them boots that I did for? Let you and me have a fine time because you're a cute little kid." I want to know. I want to know when William Branham would stand for some of the things that are being said about him as though he's Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. I've been saying it. I hope you caught it. Always looking back, always looking forward, missing what's doing, going on. Christ, my brother, sister, is here. He's not left.
Amen.
I don't see him. I don't feel him. I don't recognize him, but I know he's here. And you do what you want, but I know he's here. Because it's true, he's here. I've got by the word where there can be no mistake. I couldn't err if I tried. Now, I might miss the rapture and the resurrection. I might miss the white throat jumping. They said, go to the lake of fire. But I know one thing. I haven't missed this. He is here.
Amen.
And he must increase. See? And I know one thing. I'm not looking back. I'm not looking forward. Oh, I'm criticized this. And I'll be hit harder and harder. But I'm going to stay right in the middle of the road. Because I don't care. I'm going to keep believing. And know it, what I know this hour, he is here, and he will increase. He who revealed himself, declared himself, and proved himself in that show is the same one that's going to get me out of the ground if I go in, or change if I'm going to be changed. And don't let your mind get bogged, anybody says. But all the folks they try to quote. Because there is one God. There is no other. And let me tell you, friend, when Jesus Christ comes, even in the battle of Armageddon, as far as I can see Scripture, I don't understand. He had a name that nobody else knew. So if anybody's thinking of making the name of Jesus William Branham, in my books, you are an idolater. You are sick. And if you're praying for your kids to get saved, forget it. Because the name of William Brown will save nobody. It's only in the name of Jesus. Now, I could be criticized, and no doubt this paper get up. And they say, Brother Dale, Brother Brown. I am not against Brother Brown. I am for him because I refuse to make him an antichrist. Because he was a true prophet of Almighty God. And he pointed us to God. But I can place him with the Scripture. Whereas God said to Moses, he said to Aaron, you shall be for God, which is in the stead of God. Now, I never was ordained to get a revelation. The prophet was. I was never ordained to see with my eyes what the prophet saw, but he was. But I believe I have enough of something on the ball, I don't know what it is, to know that when that kind of a man is here, I take my hand off me, knowing that whatever God wants for me and for you will come by this man's words, but not by his power, not by his might, but the word of God itself manifesting itself in a creature form. Because remember, at the end time, he is Jesus Christ, the Amen, the faithful and truest, the beginning of the creation of God.
And that beginning is here to end you. Jesus himself. And I cannot believe for 1 minute that Brother Graham would want me to say other than I said to you this afternoon. A true, infallible prophet of the Word was amongst us in order that he might bring in a bride and dress a bride and present it to the Christ whose work, husbandry are, and his sanctuary we are, presenting us to him at Orientum. Now, brother, sister, if there's a greater honor than that accorded to men, I couldn't know what it is. And I believe that anybody that wants to go beyond is going to wish he had. And I believe that anybody who says any less will wish he had. I want to stay right with that word. Now, let's go over to him. The parousia is not coming. He is here. The same one who went away has come back. That's why the losers didn't have the Holy Spirit. Only potential. That's why Wesley didn't have the Holy Spirit. Only potential. And Pentecost thought they had it, but they didn't. But he is here now. Sealing the whole pyramid off. Bringing us in. And remember this one thing. The meek will inherit the earth, which is the millennium. After the millennium comes New Jerusalem, not the earth. You want to be in the resurrection? First, you want to be in the millennium? Then you better be meek. Because the meek inherit the earth. Not the powerful guys. Not the great ones. But that meekest of all amongst us, which is Jesus. The great powerful one has revealed himself and shown himself. Proven himself. And said, I am that one who's going to get them out of the grave. But before they come out, I'm going to do a work in you so they can come out. Then when I scream, come out, they'll come out. And brother, sister, as Brother Branham said, when those apostles saw those resurrected ones, they had resurrection faith. And believe me, when we see them, if we're apart, it'll be our resurrection faith. I believe we'll see them. And I believe we'll be changed in our bodies when we see them go, and we'll start going about it. And Brother Branham said, there'll be a handful here, and later on, a handful there, a few at a time. The resurrection alone will take 40, well, the minimum of 30 days. What if it's 75? What if the rapture is 20 days? A month. The shout had been here 4 years. Who's to say? Now, where do your dates go? Where do funny ideas go? Put them all to one side, brother, sister. Now, listen, I'm not saying, because this could be a trap. You say, Brother Dale, the Spirit, sir, I'm going to give myself a spirit, only according to the Word. You see, back in 1966, as early as 66, Brother Branham off the scene, some brethren got a hold of the very word that I'm quoting from, and they said, oh, he's here. They said the resurrection's over. They said we're in the millennium. And they took all these quotes, but they didn't go to the Bible. And one man in South Africa took Brother Palmer's nugget. Now, nothing against the nugget, but I'm all for it, as long as you use it as a concordance. I know what you're saying. And he sat with me in Jefferson doing a Viking farm. And he's quoted all these quotes. I said, Brother, where did you get your quotes? He got another one. He said, see, he has already returned. I said, my brother, that was the descendant, revealed, anointed word. And he said, oh. Descended word? I said, yes. But it was too late to change. He'd been preaching, married people, no intercourse. If you don't, you better be very good, or someone's going to trap you down the street, because the Bible said that's wrong. And he went further, until that man today, the last I heard, has given up everything. He's literally a drunk, no good individual. Churches in America are trapped today, and they say he's come. Now he's got to go to Israel. Taking the same quotes that I've taken, my brother, sister, when you take it to the Word, you'll find that what Brother Branham taught is not separate from this book. Let me take my notes. Let's say that I got page of quotes. Let's take the page of quotes. Brother Branham preached this. Let me tell you, it is not this, and it is not this. It is this from within.
That's right, amen.
He's here. I can't tell you what all it means. But I trust, and I believe it must be, that one day it's going to break upon us. See? Now listen. You know, there's nothing in itself that's too really too bad if you can get become aware of it. Although some people say scared of the daylights on you. But you know, I tell you, I hate mice and I hate rats. I hate rats worse than mice because I think they're rougher on you, and you know, they're dirtier and they're wicked rats because they would really charge up. I remember years ago in British Columbia, went upstairs, and this. But you know, I tell you, I hate mice and I hate rats. I hate rats worse than mice because I think they're rougher on you, and you know, they're dirtier and they're wicked rats because they would really charge up. I remember years ago in British Columbia, went upstairs, and this fella had a meat market. He was next door to us. And that meat market guy, he's about the dirtiest guy ever. You might call him, he was kind of like a pig. He was just so filthy around the place, all of that. And you could see rats during the day by the dozens, you know. And if you can see dozens of rats during the day, there's hundreds and hundreds during the night. And I went upstairs that night, one night, and I didn't know there's a rat in our place. I was batching with the guy that night. And I pulled back the covers, and this rat jumped. Boy. You talk about a heart attack. And an extra flow of adrenaline could have put me in an insane institution. I'm not sure if you've seen it. You know that roadrunner used to put on, we used to watch television years ago, we all stopped watching the cars. I had that roadrunner beat all of them. But you know what? If I'd have known he was there, it wouldn't have been so bad. Something could have been done about it. Now that's what I'm talking about now. If you know he's here, not waiting to see him as a pillar of fire or something, but you know that he's here. See? You are in good shape to this extent that the majority of you in this message do not know that he's here. They don't know this message. They don't understand. They look away down the road. And we're saying he's here. You follow me? Lord bless you, that's right. Dear Lord God, I believe you've been with us, Lord, at this time to help us in the study of this word. And I know the people are like me this afternoon. What can we say about it? There's no possible way to deny it. We have only one confidence, O God, and that is that the dynamics will come through the proper mechanics. That this same Jesus, same one, from the time of Paul and now reappearing at our time, is going to lead a people into rapture. Is now going from glory to glory, and as much as we don't feel it, can we be, Lord, at this time like Caleb and Joshua? Help us to be, rather, I might say, Lord. Who, when they were taken with the 10 others, went in and saw the land and said, He is with us. And were more than God, because they saw Him. Saw the fruit in the picture ahead. Tasting of it, saying, This is it. I'm for it, I believe. Acknowledging. Help us to be that kind of people. Let us not be, Lord, as like those who was proven, because it was proven, and then back away. But let us be able to say, I have seen the Lord risen among you. I know He is here. For that which drew your hope, Wesley Pentecost, that which the Scripture said, He is present. And I shall be present with you. For Lord, we know that your prophet said that the revealed word was here. For it said that the word reveal itself in order that the bride would know him. Father, I must say, as far as I know, my heart is saying correct and my mind is saying correct, Lord, I do not believe I'm ever correct. But I believe, Lord, I am satisfied with the reality that this is it that you have revealed yourself, that you are that one that my soul longeth for and loves and perchance will even more long for and more love and give all the glory if I be part of that election. But I know I have seen and I believe you, Lord, standing amongst us. And I thank you that those all of us might not be brides that claim this message, thousands and thousands, that there certainly could be amongst us friends of the bridegroom. Stand back and rejoice with the bride and the groom, and not have a wrong spirit. Father God, if there's any one thing that we want, as Brother Branham mentioned way back in Ezekiel, that before the Holy Spirit came, you gave us a new spirit, put a new heart in us, heart no longer stone for the flesh, warm, tender heart. Lord, I stand as a candidate today for that warm, tender heart, that right spirit, O God, that the Holy Spirit could seal me in and the people here. We've admitted it, Lord, because we do not want that other trying and being tried. It seems as prevalent, but Lord, from this moment we disassociate ourselves from it and abhor it and abominate it and say, I will not recognize you. It's wrong. Until, Lord, it's all worked out. I ask this for your honor, Lord. Bless the people, the past. Bless every word to come alike, Lord, because I feel this is such an important word we have talked about today.
Amen.
So, God, help each one to recognize the presence. Oh, Lord, I don't even begin to know it in this moment. But I know one thing that's going to lead where the prophet was taken. Come and walk with me. So now, unto the King eternal and more than the only wise God, the all power and honor and glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you, brother.